It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Guy Raz. And today's show, The Money Paradox.
Here's the thing. We like money. We love money. We love incentives. They get our attention.
This is the writer Daniel Pink, and he wrote a book about what motivates humans. It's called Drive.
Is money the best motivator for encouraging high performance in all tasks?
Is...
The answer is absolutely not.
Not?
Absolutely
How
not.
How can
in
that
all
be?
Things. Well, here's the thing. It's the same. This is actually simpler than it seems at the outset. There's a certain kind of motivator that we use in organizations, in schools, in our lives. I call it an if-then motivator. If you do this, then you get that. If you do this, then you get that.
So give me an example. What do you mean?
Oh, okay, let's say you want somebody to stuff envelopes.
Okay.
Okay? You're trying to motivate somebody to stuff envelopes.
Right.
Not particularly interesting.
No.
Not particularly cognitively complex.
No.
Pay them per envelope.
Okay.
Absolutely no question about that.
You got to pay them per envelope.
That's a way to motivate them to do the job.
Because they'll do more envelopes.
Right. And here's the thing. There's some nuance here.
But what if you come across something a little harder than stuffing envelopes? Like what if you come across the candle problem?
What it involves is you give people three things. You give them a candle, you give them some matches, and you give them a box of tacks.
A candle, some matches, and a box of tacks. That's it. So we tried this experiment with a few people. We gave them the candle problem.
Wait. No, put it.
The question is, you need to affix the candle to a wall so that the wax doesn't drip onto the table.
Which it will not drip into the table.
So you can use the thumbtacks and to sort of like press it up against a wall.
Lighting a candle and wetting this entire side of the candle.
When I did this, I said, okay, I got this. What you need to do is you need to light the matches, melt the side of the candle.
Fix it with the side itself.
So it becomes sticky, and then use that stickiness to adhere the candle to the wall.
All right, so it's melting the candle.
Oh my God, my fingers.
You're gonna burn your fingers.
I don't think it's gonna work.
It just doesn't work.
Is it gonna hold?
Because the candle immediately falls off the wall.
Aww.
Trying to stick it to the wall.
And so what people eventually do, and most people end up solving the problem, is that they realize that what looks to be three elements,
what about getting rid of
the box of tacks,
wait a minute.
The candle, and the matches, is actually four elements.
I think the box is helpful as a wax catcher. I think that's its primary purpose.
I agree with that.
The tacks are a separate element. And so what they do is they position the candle in the box.
Could we support the candle in the box?
And use the tacks to tack the box
onto the wall.
Onto the wall.
And then use the box as the catcher of the wax?
Right.
And that allows the candle to be affixed to the wall without dripping wax onto the table.
Candle, light the candle.
I'm trying.
Oh!
Oh, there you go.
Okay, this is not so simple. You have to literally think outside the box. So what happens if you add a little bit of money to the equation? Well, the psychologist Sam Glucksberg did just that. He tried it back in the 1960s, which is a story that Dan Pink told on the TED stage.
This shows the power of incentives. Here's what he did. He gathered his participants and he said, I'm going to time you how quickly you can solve this problem. To one group, he said, I'm going to time you to establish norms, averages for how long it typically takes someone to solve this sort of problem. To the second group, he offered rewards. He said, if you're in the top 25% of the fastest times, you get $5. If you're the fastest of everyone we're testing here today, you get $20. Question, how much faster did this group solve the problem? Answer, it took them on average 3.5 minutes longer. 3.5 minutes longer. Now this makes no sense, right? If you want people to perform better, you reward them, right? Bonuses, commissions, their own reality show, incentivize them. That's how business works. But that's not happening here. You've got an incentive designed to sharpen thinking and accelerate creativity, and it does just the opposite. It dulls thinking and blocks creativity. And what's interesting about this experiment is that it's not an aberration. This has been replicated over and over and over again for nearly 40 years. These contingent motivators. If you do this, then you get that. Work in some circumstances, but for a lot of tasks, they actually either don't work or often they do harm.
What explains that?
What explains it is the power of if-then rewards and the power of these kinds of incentives. We love them. They get our attention, okay? Our eyes widen but more important, our focus narrows. That's actually good for some things, but for a creative problem, it actually inhibits you.
It's actually a bad incentive.
Right.
To offer money in this case is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And this idea has been tested in all sorts of ways at the London School of Economics, at MIT, Carnegie Mellon, the University of Chicago. The list goes on and on. And every single experiment came up with the same answer, that money actually narrows our focus and restricts our creativity.
Let me tell you why this is so important. That routine, rule-based, left-brain work, certain kinds of accounting, certain kinds of financial analysis, certain kinds of computer programming has become fairly easy to outsource. Fairly easy to automate. Software can do it faster. Low-cost providers around the world can do it cheaper. So what really matters are the more right-brain, creative, conceptual kinds of abilities. Think about your own work. Everybody in this room is dealing with their own version of the candle problem. And for candle problems of any kind, the solution is not to entice people with a sweeter carrot or threaten them with a sharper stick. We need a whole new approach. The good news about all this is that the scientists who've been studying motivation have given us this new approach. It's an approach built much more around intrinsic motivation, around the desire to do things because they matter, because we like it, because they're interesting, because they're part of something important. And to my mind, that new operating system for our businesses revolves around three elements: autonomy, mastery, and purpose. Autonomy, the urge to direct our own lives. Mastery, the desire to get better and better at something that matters. And purpose, the yearning to do what we do in the service of something larger than ourselves.
But I mean, like that feeling of ownership, mm-hmm. which is great, mm-hmm. and I think everybody wants it, mm-hmm. but that doesn't pay for your mortgage or your
That's why I say you got to get the money right at the threshold.
Yeah.
God, you know what? I'm going to give you full autonomy over everything that
okay.
you do.
I take it.
I'm going to talk to you every single day about how important what you do is each day contributes to this beloved public radio network
yeah.
and to the entertainment and edification of people around the country.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pay you $5,000 a year. That's not going to work.
No.
Right. Get the money right as a threshold, then move on to these other things.
If we've known this.
Ah.
Yeah. So like, why are we where we are?
That's a really important question, and it's frustrating. And I think in business in particular, first of all, there are some signs that it's changing, and it's changing in smaller companies and in newer companies, okay? But if there is this evidence that says if-then rewards are not that effective for more complex creative things, why do we keep deploying them for everything?
Right.
Remember, these if-then rewards have been effective for a long time. What happened is that what people are doing has changed, and yet how we're motivating them hasn't changed, and they're easier. They're totally easier. If I say, ooh, I'm your boss, and I say, what can I do to put Guy in the right position so he has sufficient levels of autonomy in the way that he wants? How can I come up with better mechanisms inside to give Guy feedback more regularly, information on how he's doing so he has a sense of making progress? How can I show Guy that what he does here every day makes a difference in our organization, makes a difference in our world? That's hard. If I say to, hey, Guy, your ratings go up, I'll give you a $10,000 bonus.
Yeah.
I just got Guy's attention.
Yeah.
Guy psyched. I walk back to my office, pat myself on the back for being a charismatic leader. And so these if-then rewards are really easy. And so I think for those reasons, we get seduced and, again, use them for everything rather than where they work.
Can I still get the $10,000?
No.
Daniel Pink, he wrote all about this in his book called Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us. Check out his full talk at ted.npr.org. I want the $10,000.
We all want the $10,000. I want the $10,000.
That motivate me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why did I come in here today? Are you guys paying me?